السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. My dear respected brothers, sisters and elders in Islam, it is a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within us soon as we become believers, or we continue making effort on connecting ourselves and to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the thirds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in our heart is that we want to learn more. We want to do better. Generally, as human being, whatever we want that to be best. Whatever we possess, we want that to be best. That's a human nature. And as a human being, we have another natural instinct that we have competition within us. We want to have competition within us. Sometimes the competition can be in a good form, and sometimes shaitan might use that human instinct of having competition towards another direction. But as long as we tell ourselves, the decision, the final ending is made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, who is successful and who is not successful is decided by Lord Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Day of Qiyamah. We come back and we keep working on it. Soon as we come into a situation saying, okay, no, I have got acceptance, and then I am the best, I have got whatever I wanted, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, we start declining. This is the nature. We actually have to ask ourselves, when it comes to obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can we be in obedience to Allah better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can we do that? No. In every obedience, in every single thing that we do, it can be salah, it can be dhikr, it can be praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it can be charity, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the top. None of us, no ummah can beat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. There was competition between Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu and Umar radiyallahu anhu. And they were to look for each other, and especially Umar radiyallahu anhu, he always used to regret that he embraced Islam from the time of revelation 5 years later. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, a person who accepted first, initial stage itself. Umar radiallahu anhu always had this regret in his heart that, you know, I'm way behind. 5 years means it's not easy. Even after some of the Sahabas like Khabbab ibn Arad, some says Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was embracing his like 40th, or you know, the last, you know, past 20, 30 Sahabas, you know. So he used to have this in his heart, and he's always tried to do the best, and he want to compete. He was trying. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him opportunity to be the, after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, second place. He was very aggressive person. Aggressive means he's very tough. very strong-headed. Whatever we make decisions, he used to be very firm on it. But whenever someone comes and prove to him that you are wrong according to this hadith, or you are wrong according to this ayah, you are wrong according to this, Umar radiallahu anhu used to give up. He never used to be above that. He had so much of thirst, Umar radiallahu anhu used to go and even learn other revelations from Torah, Injil, and all other things. And once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar, aren't you pleased with the revelation that Allah is revealing to us through the Quran? Aren't you pleased with this? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whatever you learn from Torah and Injil, you cannot and you should not believe it completely, neither you reject it completely. Because majority of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have brought into the Quran. Ulama kiram says, when you take the Quran, except for the last part of the Quran, they call Tiwalul Mufassal, last, from Surah Tur downwards. Surah Tur downwards. That's a very unique, special only for this ummah. Those revelation was not revealed in any other kitab, Tawrat, Injil, Zabur, nothing. And whatever was in Tawrat and Injil and all other revelations were there from Surah Al-Fatiha till Surah Al-Tur. It's all the same message were brought down. But when it comes to this part, it was special for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's a special addition. It was a complete version Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. It's a continuation of the revelation. So my respected brothers, why I brought this topic is every one of us, our understanding towards the deen is different. We get exposed to the deen in a different way. The way we have learned is a different way. Some are Hanafi madhab. Some have got exposed to the deen through Shafi madhab. If we take the madhab. And similarly, our backgrounds are different. Our backgrounds are different. We have within us a competition of, you know, doing better. Yes, it's good. But we should not ever decide or consider or look, oh, my deen is better than the other person's deen. No. To ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, I'm doing the best of my ability. I'm trying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regard to his spouses, his wives, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did the best, and in the end he said, Ya Allah, what is in my capacity, I'm doing it. What is beyond my capacity, this heart is controlled by you. Sometime I prefer some wives than other. I have more love to some wives than other because this is a human nature. Do not take me accountable task for it. And Quran teaches that, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Surah Baqarah, in Allah, don't take us accountable when we forget. We are human beings. We make mistakes. A sahabi was making dua. He's supposed to say, Ya Allah, you are my Lord and I'm your slave. He turned it around, other way around. Because, you know, sometimes you go on. You keep doing it, you know, unintentionally say that. إِنَّ سِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Oh Allah, when we make a mistake. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us, we need to always tell ourselves, yes, I am 99.9%, I am right, but I have 1% possibility of being wrong. Whenever we do, we should not do it in a doubt way. One person is praying that way, one person is praying this way, you say, okay, whether his salah is right, my salah, no. You need to be very, very firm. What I have learned, what my ulamas have taught me, alhamdulillah, based on my knowledge, I am praying, I am 99.9%, you know, I'm correct. But there is 1% possibility of being wrong. You have to tell other person, yes, according to me, according to my knowledge, other person is wrong. But he has 1% possibility of being correct. So we need to have this in our mind. Whenever we do, whatever we do, it can be in all our affairs. As long as we keep this open, our door to learning is open. We keep learning, we keep learning. We improve. We improve, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us better person and better person and better person, and deen becomes very easy upon us. When we do ala basira, with knowledge, with proper clarity, it becomes very easy. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't want us to make the religion hard upon us. Now I'm coming back to the topic which we were discussing. Each and every one of us, our try is to lead a halal life. We must lead a halal life. We must ask ourselves how much we can do. And we should not compromise. We must try and do the best form. The best form. I'll give you an example. In everything, there is a best form and a least form. If you take salah, in farl salah, within salah, there are certain things considered to be farl. You cannot miss that wajib. If you miss that, your salah is not valid. You have to repeat your salah. But when you add certain things, your salah becomes more beautiful. More beautiful. Beautification is increased. So it is encouraged to be done. It is encouraged to be done. So similarly, when it comes to our consumption, the most encouraged and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us is taqwa. Taqwa means staying away from the area or things which is doubtful. Especially in haram and halal. There are certain things which is sunnah and wajib. In halal and haram, what is doubtful, we have to stay away from it. When it's doubtful, shubhat. And the hadith very clearly say, فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبْهَاتِ فَقَدَ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. The one who fears the shubhat, he will eventually protect his deen and honor. Allahu Akbar. When it's doubtful, stay away. Halal is clear, haram is clear. In between, there is doubtful line. And when you fear the doubtful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you and protect your deen and honor. And then in the hadith in Ala wa inna himallahi maharimu. It gives a beautiful example. You know what happened? It's like a flock of sheep is grazing in the, you know, right the corner of the fence. It's not supposed to, you know, put the neck other side around. But when the sheep see the greener pasture that side, without realizing it will put the head towards that side. So the border is the fence, but if you put the, your body is here, but the neck goes there. It still remains what? You're going the boundary, you're crossing the boundary. You're crossing the boundary. So alhamdulillah, this area of certification of halal food, because this is the concern of the Muslim Ummah. So the more the demand is there, it is, like I said, it's a fardu kifaya. It's a responsibility of the Muslim Ummah. Wherever you are, someone has to take up this responsibility. Like janazah salah and burial, it's a fardu kifaya. One group definitely has to do it. When a person passes away, it is a responsibility of the Muslim Ummah to give him a ghusl, kafan, and then salatul janazah, and then the burial. If someone does it, everyone's responsibility is fulfilled. If no one does it, everyone is responsible in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, each and every one of us, it is our responsibility to look for halal and eat. But when it's complicated, it's very difficult for people who have knowledge, people who have time, people who are able to do that. They have to do it and make it easy for Muslim Ummah. If they don't do it, they are responsible in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the certification bodies come there. But then the main issue, there is lots of cost involved. It's not an easy process of certifying a product, because you need to have reliable sources. You need to verify whether information is correct. They have to declare every ingredients what is being put forward, and all that has to be, privacy should be maintained, confidentiality, you cannot give it out, you cannot expose those things. And then this is when it comes to product which is manufactured and done it. When it comes to, you know, abattoir, you take to a places where the slaughterhouses, you need to have someone. The best form is, like I said, a believer, a Muslim who has the habit of, you know, who is punctual in prayer, who has to say the kalima, who has to say Bismillah Rahman Rahim, and every single animal has to be slaughtered. This is called zabiha. This is called 100% zabiha. Zabiha is you use the method, and proper, there is proper, there is actually four different, you know, there is a one tube, it goes on the air, the tube of food, and then the tube which the blood goes on. All that four has to be properly, you know, cut. When that properly is cut, then what happened? The blood flows properly, then alhamdulillah, it becomes halalan tayyiba. Yeah, halalan tayyiba. All that three, definitely, out of four, three is has to be cut. It has to be definitely been cut. Then only that becomes halalan tayyiba. That's the best form. And that is what we have to look for. But then there is a difference of opinion has come within the scholars, because with the advance of technology. With advance of technology, some come and say, yes, as long as intention is there and someone owns the machine, all this has been properly cut off, it's still, what do you call, halal. But this halal certification body, the majority halal certification body does not accept the machine slaughtering. But few halal certifications body, with lots of conditions, they will accept it. They will have in between people monitoring it, but they will accept it. Personally, me, we don't prefer that. Majority ulamas don't prefer that. But some scholars have given opinion on that, and that I will consider that to be a least form of acceptance, right? In a situation where you don't have any other meat, then you go to that. But Muslim Ummah is very important. If we push for the highest form, the market will give us the highest form. Because what's happening? If we push for the highest form, the market, the industry will give us the highest form. Even in the countries, they are very anti-Muslims. Because of the commercial purpose, they make sure that they hire proper people to do this, and it is been properly delivered to the markets with the Muslim people are there. Alhamdulillah, there is some good sign. When it comes to Middle East, like Arab countries, Middle East country, they were very, flexible about these things. But within last 10 years, they have taken leadership when it comes to halal certification. Gulf Halal Certification Authority have become the one of the strongest monitoring body. And to get certification by them, like anybody who is doing certification, the other, you know, when you're exporting meat from here, where it is imported, the Halal Certification Authority there has to certify the certification body. Who is doing it? Is there ulamas are there? What are the standards? Do they maintain these standards? What is it? And then these things have been checked, and alhamdulillah, those Gulf countries now, they have developed a very strong this thing. There are certain things between the madahib, there are difference of opinion. For example, insects. There are some insects have been used for coloring. For coloring purpose. To bring color out it, to beautify the food, whatever it is being said. Within different madahib, some madahib, some certification body will approve that, some certification body will not approve, because different madahib has a different stance on that. Right. Different mazahib has different stance of that. So it's very, very important. When it comes to these things, you need to have some local ulama, a local mufti, who you can reliably consult that, who can go detailly in it, alhamdulillah. Then you will be very, very safe in doing these things. And alhamdulillah, we have large number of products, large number of range of products, which is without any doubt, we can say it is well certified, and we go for it. And then you have very clearly some range of product which is very clearly haram. What is going to be doubtful is going to be in the middle. It will be in the middle. So we avoid those things. And again, now this is something very important. If Muslim, within Muslim Ummah, we need to try the form, the best form. But when a person is following another mufti's or the opinion which is not you are following, he's actually trying to do his best and he's following a reliable scholar's opinion, you have to leave it between him and Allah. We should not go and argue and create a friction about it. Say, okay, you're fine, alhamdulillah, you're doing it, you are satisfied about halal, go ahead. Because it is more than me, it is upon you to look for what food you consume. But when you're visiting them, you're going to their house, before the time when your friendship is good, you need to inform the person, brother, this is my standard of halal, this is what I expect. So if you can respect that, it will be very good for me. I will be very comfortable with that. And generally, the host don't want to make the guest what? Uncomfortable. They will never make the guest uncomfortable. They wanted you to have the food, so they'll make sure that they'll buy a food which you can, or they can prepare something which you can eat. But my respected brothers, our children, this is very, very important. It's very complicated market. We have to train our children from young days itself, teaching them about these things. They need to understand this. If they don't understand, they get the habit, the lifestyle become, oh, no worries, I take this, no worries. They become a very careless. They are not conscious about what they eat, what they're supposed to eat, what they're not supposed to eat. So that habit has to be brought to them from young days, trained, not making them very hard and difficult. When you say this is haram, before you say haram, or before you say this is not certified, or before you say this is not sure, this is doubtful, you need to give the children the alternative. You say, okay, this is doubtful, but son, this is not doubtful, this is certified, so you can have this. But sometimes we say it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's method is very clear. Allah will say always which is halal, and then only Allah will say which is haram. Ahallallahu al-bay' wa harrama al-riba. I have made trading halal, and then I have made the riba haram. So Allah gives us alternative. Always Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. Consume from this earth what is very pure and halal. Any substance which comes from, plants, any extract which is coming from the plants, as generally, as Muslims, we all know, it is halal, we can go for it. Anything which is connected with the meat, only we have to be very careful. We have to see three things. One is, okay, meat, it's a meat-based product. It is connected to meat. That means either it will be coming from pork, swine. If it's not from that, okay, then if it's non-pork or alcoholic, this is very important. You cannot have alcoholic substance or what do you call something pork or something harmful hazard. Harmful hazard. When it comes to this harmful hazard, it's a very, very difficult area, because lots of chemicals, lots of things have been adding now because it's commercialization. They want to make it sweet, they want to make it beautiful, they want to make it nice. And the food and safety has become a very question. Food safety has become a very questionable because the industry market is very much competing. So sometimes it is very difficult for halal certification body to go and determine and say, okay, this is harmful substance. Because in hadith is very clear, anything harmful substance, you cannot consume. It is whatever it is. So what is harmful custom? Person to person, it differs how it is. So it is up to you to look for it, that you know, harmful substances there, you get the medical doctor's consultation and all that. And another very important point, if it is not pork, no wine, then it will have either two categories. There are certain animals which Allah have made it halal, but it has to be slaughtered. So then you will see, zabiha or ghayru zabiha. From where does it come? You need to certify that. You need to look for it. And then there are certain animals which is haram. Not only, you know, pork and swine. Even if you take animals, meat eaters. Someone hunt the lion, and can we eat the lion? No, we cannot do. Amongst the birds, can we eat the eagle? No. The owl, no. Because all those, they hunt from there. Oh, they hunt and eat. Meat eaters are not halal for us. Meat eaters are not, as they take as a main meal. Because sometimes some people, even chicken eats the insects and all these things. If you cut the meat piece and put, they eat it and all that. But that's not their main dietary. They have other dietary which is running on. If the main dietary is meat, we have to completely keep that away and we look into these things. Alhamdulillah. And we have a responsibility as Muslim Ummah. This is very, very important. Now what is happening? Standards are created by someone else. And we are struggling either to meet the standard. If the standard is haram, how to change and alter the standard? It is a big responsibility of Muslim Ummah that we get into this market. Which is harmful, which is tayyib, which is pure. Food and safety standard have to be maintained by us because Allah has said what is safe for us. When Allah says halal and tayyib, that food is safe for us. Halal is not only ya ayyuhan nas. Allah says Allah addressed the humanity as well. Or people consume which is tayyib, pure. So it is for everyone. So halal is not only for Muslims. Yes, we have a religious obligation towards it because we are believers. We have a spiritual obligation because we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if our food is not halal, then our du'as are not accepted. Yes, we have an additional reason for it. But every human being must consume which is halal and tayyib. And it is our duty that we make this thing available. To do that, we need to call upon yesterday. We have some discussion, a brother, important point. As Muslim Ummah, we have neglected that. That is what? Inviting humanity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inviting humanity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll continue this topic of we having a communal, collective responsibility. Inviting people towards Allah and commanding people to do good and forbidding people from doing evil. It's very important. We cannot wait. It's none of our business. No. The entire Ummah, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave reference as we are traveling in one ship and we are responsible for whatever is happening. So inshallah tomorrow we'll continue on this topic of what you call, what is our responsibility. Tomorrow might be the last day. So let us try and see that what after Eid, what I'm going to do. My neighbors are non-Muslims. We be good to them. And you have a responsibility to invite towards Islam. In a politely you can say, beautiful way you can say, how are you going to invite them? That's very, very important. We have to be, proactive. We have to be progressive. We have to be always leaders. وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَىٰ عَلَى النَّاسِ. And Allah will bring us as a witness in day of Qiyamah. So we must be able to be a witness on behalf of the entire humanity. We can only be bearing witness if we have done our job. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq that we follow and we lead a life of halal. It is very difficult sometimes in the environment we live, staying away from riba, staying away from, doubtful things. But we need to help each other. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. So that we can help each other and we can benefit each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us. وَآخِرْ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.